just, we're going to get it up. So you pray for us and pray that God will help us, and we do appreciate it. And I know they prayed for the Wynn's series. You remember, I guess, on the Eagle. We played it, I know, twice. Every once in a while, he'll be on the pulpit hour. So you preachers going around the world, what about that? Because we have, you know, the internet around the world. And so that's a blessing. But we love this church and appreciate all you've ever done through these many years to help us. No way in the world we could go and do without it. But I tell them, of course, by the way, I was scheduled to go to Egypt and Israel here the 9th of November. But my wife has been... This is the first time she's got to come with me now in several weeks. But she got real sick. She had a UTI and it went septic. Got in her bloodstream and she liked to die though. I thought she's dead. I don't know how it feels if she was. She's laying in my arm. But the Lord gave her back to me, I guess. And of course she said, I wasn't dead. Said, I didn't see Jesus and I didn't see heaven. Said, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So, but I sure thought she was gone. But I'm glad the Lord has put us together and still going. We celebrated our 55th wedding anniversary in the Philippines. And, of course, we was over there in a typhoon, no power. I told them I learned to live again like I was raised. And no power, you know, just the old-fashioned way. But you can still live that way. What would we do if we didn't have all that today? But some of us can remember when we didn't have it. But we had... I told Faye when I got back home, because you got my letter, I guess, but I've never had a real reaping ministry like some preachers. You know, you'll get some. You can't preach this book without getting some. You just can't. But they, some preachers, every time they preach, seem like they just get a harvest. I've never had that, but I enjoy what I have had. But it seemed like this trip, it was different everywhere I preached. God just give us souls. And I don't know, I don't even keep a count as such, but I believe Vanny, one of them told me it's about 75 or 80 people got saved this trip. I've never had that, but it's a blessing. And I told Faye when I got home, I said, well, Faye, you might ought to get ready. I may be fixing to check out. I've prayed for years, Lord, let my last days be my best days. I ain't never had that many people saved. I may be fixing to get out of here, but... It was a blessing, though, and of course, we've got ABMI legally in the Philippines. We can own property, whatever it's set up through the government, and what a blessing that's been. It's helped us in a lot of ways, and so it's just a blessing. But I got to preach to, do you remember how many preachers, 27 or 9 or something of our preachers? We've got 40, I think 41 over there, but there's about 20, I think it's 27 or 29 in a meeting, and we had our board meeting, and, you know, I preached to them, and what a blessing. I told my wife, I said, if I don't ever hear about it again, I've had my reward. But in that meeting, there was 8 preachers stood up and said, I'd just like to thank Brother Whittemore for raising money to build my church, build our church. Well, praise the Lord. Some of them I just about forgot about doing years, you know, down through the years. But I got to preaching one. And I preached the first time there under an old tarp. And an old rusty, had an old rusty shed out back. They took us back there and had, I don't think had anything except what, some little fish about that long. And I mean, nothing, hardly to eat, but they fed us. And I eat it. I eat stuff sometimes. I don't know what it is in some of these countries, but I eat it. And I've lived. So, but anyway, I got to... The Lord put it, burdened my heart, and come back, and we raised money and build a church. I went through a spell. I said, if you want to build a church, give me the money and I'll name it after you. Well, I started building churches, so the Lord did. I mean, I've got Roanoke, Pleasant Valley, Pleasant Hill, Laurel Ridge. I told them, I ain't never seen a laurel bush. They don't know what a laurel is, but there's a Laurel Ridge Baptist Church in the Philippines. But people give me monies, and we build about, I don't know, 12, 15 of them, I guess. But I got to preach on the same grounds this trip in a nice building the Lord helped us to build, and had 31 people saved in one meeting. I ain't never had that. So, and you've had a part in my life for many, many, many years, and I appreciate it, and God's got a record. So I appreciate you so much, and I tell them I don't go to Egypt to see the pyramids. I've seen them so many times, I don't usually even go over there. But I go to preach. And really, tell you the truth, I don't go to Israel. I love it to see the tomb and all the different things you get to see and walk where Jesus walked. But I go to preach. I was in India here some years ago teaching a Bible college. I taught a whole mod. And I study in course in English and had to have an interpreter. But I never thought of this. You may have. But the word preach in English. Leave the P off. What have you got? Reach. Leave the R off of reach. In one word, preach, reach, each. That's God's plan. Just preach. Care what language, what country, what culture, you just preach. And God will give the increase. By the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save those that will believe. But I just wanted, and as I was going to be up here, and I'm going on up to Lansing tomorrow in a meeting up there tomorrow night and all day Tuesday. And I usually preach in that meeting, but and I'd talked to Brother Ray Green, called me, and we was talking about it. He said, why don't you just come to be with me Sunday morning? I said, all right, praise the Lord, I will. And so I called Brother Wynn. I said, I can't never remember when you're having church on Sunday night. I said, are you having church Sunday night? Can I come by and say thank you? So that's why we're here. And I do mean that from my heart. We love you, appreciate you with all my heart. But we just want to say thank you. And if any questions, I have got some prayer. I didn't bring my board in, but there's some prayer cards and a few brochures and things. But the work's still going well. I left before daylight yesterday morning, went down way down in Georgia and helped ordain one of our graduates. The Lord gave him a church, and he graduated from our Bible college, and he wouldn't hear nothing but me be a part of it. So I went down and got in last night late and left this morning just before daylight could, coming up here. So I've been on the go a lot, and I ain't as young as I used to be, but you know, time just gets away, don't it? I remember Wayne Greer wasn't gray-headed. But I'm 73 now. Faye's 71. I told her here a while back, I said, you know what? I ain't never been married to a 71-year-old woman before. She said, no, I ain't never been married to a 73-year-old man before. So, but God's been good to us to give us health and to be able to go and do and preach. And you pray for the mission board. It keeps growing. We don't plan it. Don't advertise it. But if we can just be a help, that's all we want to be to those. And if somebody asked me today even, and I said about how we handled our missions, I said, well, if you send $10, $50, or $100, the missionary gets every dime of it. We don't take one penny. If you support a board from Anchor Baptist Missions, I mean support somebody that's under our board, they get it all. We pay the, of course, it takes, we have a secretary and all that, but we pay that. So I told him, I said, no. I said, and he said, well, I know a board that takes so much percentage of their support out. I said, well, that's somebody got to do it, but we don't. So if you give to our board, the way they get it all. And then I try to visit. I try my best to visit the missionaries that's under our board and see their needs and come back. And if I can help, raise monies or encourage or whatever, that's what I try to do. Now, I canceled my trip to Egypt, leaving the 9th, due to my wife's health. She's just not ready for that trip. And then this Ebola, even though it's Egypt, it's Africa. And the rule is anything coming out of Africa, if somebody has 1 degree fever, they'll quarantine you. You could have a cold and get that nearly, or just sometimes just the stress of flying. But they'll quarantine you 21 days. And I'd already bought my tickets to Bolivia, and you pray. I'm a little bit out of class, I feel like. Of course, it's all the Lord. But the head man over the whole country of Bolivia, that's over the missions, the good missions, believe what we believe, called me months and months ago, wanted to know if I'd come to his church and preach a mission conference. Well, that's most of my preaching's missions, but still, I never dreamed of, so I'll start out down in Santa Cruz preaching 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, I believe it is. I leave here on the 2nd, and then come up to there in La Paz, And then I'm going up the Altiplano, and of course, Stephen, I don't know how it'll turn out now since we're flying his wife in with that problem. He was going to go with me and interpret it for me, but God will provide somebody. I know another missionary that speaks English good. Maybe he can, but we'll have the meetings. But Stephen called me, and he said, "Preacher, while you're here, could I book you out in some of these churches?" I said, "Stephen, I don't care if you book me six times a day. I'll try to preach." So I don't know how many meetings I'll have in Bolivia, but we'll be there through the 17th, I think it is, or something. We're coming home. But just pray for our safety, and I'll be a help and a blessing. And that's all I want to be. Of course, the whole work, the disaster ministry, we always have that, and ship containers and provide vehicles for our missionaries. Now, Stephen will be coming in, but we'll have him a vehicle. We've got it. We call it MVP, Most Valuable Player. You know it, most people, but it's Missionary Vehicle Program. And one of our missionaries come home, they don't have to worry about buying a car. We try to keep something that's world-worthy, and we let them have it. And I've said this, if they want to turn it back in for somebody else when they get home, praise the Lord, we'll do it. But if they want to keep it, I give it to them. So you just pray that God will help us to, and he'll have a vehicle. Don't have to worry about that when he gets here. And that's a blessing. We've got a Philip Marmentos in here now. Of course, he finally bought something, but we let him have a vehicle. He's from Philippines, one of our older missionaries. But God's put it together. Who'd ever dreamed what God has done through Anchor that let us have all these things? And it's just a miracle. The trucks and the aviation, by the way, the aviation program's going good. We got one of the few now that train Christian missionary pilots. I know Piedmont shut down and some other places that used to train. So we've got it just across the road from the church, the airport, and got a plane, and we train pilots. So that's a blessing. And got a backlog. I don't know. I believe we could use two or three the way people wanting to get trained and can't take but so many at a time. So you just pray about that. And then, of course, all the different things that's going on, the feeding programs. We feed thousands of children. The Lord does through us around the world every month. And the local food ministry. Who'd ever thought? We built that. You've seen our warehouse. We built that for missions. It's 25 foot wide, 175 foot long, 30 feet high, and just racking, just to get a forklift between. And we built that for just missionaries. But things got so hard, I never thought. But now we have two bays of it. It's just to help people. People line up in the parking lot every day for food. Who would ever thought we'd live to see that day here? But we had... the Acosta shut down. That's a big, worked about 2,000 people. DuPont shut down. Sewing plant shut down. All of them within just a matter of weeks. And at one time we were, I guess, about the highest unemployed county in the state. But the Lord's helped. We had a Lowe's go in and different things. It's helped some. But that's when we started. And so God's been good to us to let us have that. And now people trust us. Enough to even the companies, big companies, produce things, they'll call and give us a trailer load at a time. Got one this week. You never know what it'll be. Sometimes through the summer it'll be cantaloupes or cucumbers. This week we got, we got pumpkins and three or four kind of squash, yellow squash and acorn squash, I don't know how to, but it's a full 53-foot tractor trailer load of produce. And it's free. We give it away. People just come and get it. So that's a blessing. And all time, cucumbers or something. So I take advantage of it myself. And then we have a portion of it where we buy things. And about an 80% savings if you want people come and look through. And of course, we're not in it to be a business. We're in it to help people. And so you pray for us. And I could go on and on and on, but everything I'm saying, as far as through me, you've had a part in it for many years. And not one thing's ever been forgotten. God's got a record of things we forget, like when I was in the Philippines. I'd forgot about doing some of them things. You just do it and give God the glory and go on and do something and go on and get nothing. But them men stood up, and I could go back when they'd remind me when I raised money to build their church, put a roof on this or put another story on one of their churches, different things. And what a blessing it is. But I just want you to know we love you and appreciate you, and thank you for letting me come, preacher. And by the way, I don't know who it is, but somebody's going to put us up for the night. Amen. That's a blessing, since I just thought, well, we'll stay up here rather than having to drive back home, back up here tomorrow. So Brother Wynn worked it out. And somebody here going to put us up tonight, I think. So that'll be a blessing. But I thought of this last week, and I'm not a preacher of doom, don't you think we're living in the last days? I mean, I believe a lost man nearly could see we're bound to be living in the last days. And I wouldn't be surprised even this Ebola and Mercer and all these little things you can't see. God can see them, but these things start, that may be some pestilence the Bible speaks of. Could be. I don't know. But I know one thing. I was reading this, and this gripped my heart and helped me. And I thought, well, it might help us. I like to preach shouting messages, and maybe this will turn out good. But I was thinking about the disciples. And you can read in John 15, and much of it, Jesus is telling them how they hated him and how that the time will come when they'll kill you. And you know, I go where right now they're cutting their heads off, literally. A missionary some time ago coming out of Mexico, coming to my son-in-law's church, and they stopped him. Set his family over here under a tree, took the vehicle, took him, and you know what he told me? This is awful. But he said another group, that's against each other in Mexico, come by and seen him and stopped and asked what happened. And they told them exactly what happened. And they went up there and took them in a place. And there was 8 men with their heads cut off. And said, does any of these look like the ones that stopped you? He said, well, that in there, the clothes looks like the one that took my car and all. He said, go get his head. Now, I'm telling you, this ain't no ghost story. This happened. And they went and got his head. He said, that's a man. And they give him his keys back, car back, and everything. And they are in the drill. I mean, they're fighting each other. But there's 8 men laying there with their heads cut off. Now, we live in some wicked days. And the Muslims, and I'd say this as president sitting here, anybody else. I preach over there. I've seen Muslims saved. But I tell you, we're living in some scary days. And Faye is with me. I was on the Mount of Olives looking over at the old city there in Jerusalem. And there's one got up in my face that close. He pointed his finger right at my nose. He said, you better look. He said, we're going to rule the world from right over there. That's what he told me. And that's their goal. At any cost. They don't mind killing you or me or anybody else or each other. I mean, you know, they just don't mind it. And I don't want to plant fear in you. I want to give you some encouragement. But when I was reading John 15 here a few days ago, he tells them all through there, he that hateth me, hateth, you know, there in John 15. And I could go on and on and on about how that he warned the disciples. You know, he said there in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Goes on down and tells them with verse 25 says, but this cometh to pass that the world might be fulfilled, that it is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, when I will send you unto, what I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And he starts off chapter 16. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. In other words, what he's saying, I didn't tell you all these hard things that's going to happen to you to offend you. That's what he says, isn't it?
Right.
He said, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh. He said, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know the Lord. They don't have any godly fear. They just don't have anything. I was in Egypt sometime years ago, and a young couple just got married. And they wanted to talk to me after church, and they had to slip in the church. After we got started, they didn't want nobody to know they're there. And we went into one of the preacher's homes, and they came, and they asked me some questions I'd never thought about. They said, "Preacher, we want to have a child. And we don't think this way." But they said, "What would happen if we have a child and something happens to us and our parents, which are militant Muslims? They'd raise our children. They'd turn out to be Muslims. What would you recommend?" Well, we don't think that way about having a child. If something's happened there, somebody'd raise them, not never know the Lord. But they do. Boy, that's a hard question. I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but just trust the Lord and go on, you know. But that's easier said than done when you're over there. Because if they knew there's in that service, they'd probably excommunicate them, put them out. But I'm just saying, he's told them, though, how that they're going to hate you. And I could go on down through the chapter. But he says, I'm going to go. I said, now I go my way. To him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Boy, it tore him up.
Yeah.
And he knows he's talking to people with a sorrowful heart. And it is scary. I mean, really, the natural man in our day, who would have ever thought that we'd lived in a day to even think this way? Why? I never locked my doors. Years ago, we never even thought about it. Have a screen door to keep the dogs out or something. But you didn't think about nobody coming in and shooting you or robbing you. I didn't even think about it. Never locked my vehicles. Still don't, like I should, I guess. But I'm just saying. And I don't say these things to bother you, but I want to encourage you with all my heart. But Jesus didn't leave the disciples without some word of encouragement, promises. And I think we can claim them tonight. And I just want to give you a few here. And really, verse 6 talks about it. It says, I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And I'm just saying these promises encourage. The verse there talks about in sorrow. Over there in chapter, I was reading 17, 16. It says, but these, I said, things that sorrow filled your heart. He could see the sorrow in them.
Yeah.
And he wanted to help them. And there's some promises I want to give you tonight in chapter 16 that I believe will help us. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I hope we're in glory. Wouldn't that be good?
Amen.
If I could just go to right here. I don't care if I don't never preach again. If I could just. I heard old Billy Kelly. Everybody heard of Billy Kelly? He said, one of these days, we're going to just be like a wet cake of soap. And said, you start squeezing that wet soap. And said, our twilight will go boop. And one day we're going to boop out of here. I've got the blessed hope. And we're going to get raptured out of here. But be not weary. Just keep at it. Trust the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but trust the Lord with all thy heart. And he'll direct your paths. Safety's of the Lord.
Amen.
My son-in-law, I guess he's been, Roy, he's been here, Roy Velez. He told me, he said, well, preacher, when all this got so bad in Mexico, and he preaches every day of his life somewhere in other countries, but Mexico especially, got many works throughout Mexico. He said, I just can't lay down and quit my work. He said, I just have to trust the Lord. And so I'm saying tonight, we can't give up and quit. We can't crawl in a cave. We just have to, by the grace of God, be bold and trust the Lord. Lean not. Just keep it doing what you're doing. Be faithful.
Amen.
There's a God in heaven watching over us. And I don't want to be foolish. That's like I told somebody. Sometimes you have to let your head overrule your heart. I wanted to go to Egypt so bad. My wife knows it. I love it. Some of the best churches I've ever preached in my life is in Egypt. They've been persecuted. I preached to 70 preachers at one time, and most of them, the majority, had been beaten in prison. One of them thrown off of a bridge for dead. But I saw, got pictures of him after that, a shouting while I was preaching. Faye did. So he didn't get his shout. They've been, and sometimes I don't want it here, but persecution sometimes will make strong Christians. I hope we don't have to go that way. I want to just be strong anyhow without the persecution, but I'm just saying. But look what he said to them in verse 7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you."
Amen.
I mean, he's promised us a Comforter. Back in chapter 14 and verse 16, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever."
Amen.
You can't put me where he's not with me. I don't care what country. I mean, they come and got my passport one time. I was preaching in Egypt, and an official walked in. I was up in the pulpit just like this. "Want your passport." Spoke English. I didn't know what to do. I had it down under my shirt. I just unbuttoned my shirt and got it out and handed it to him. Preacher said, "You didn't have to do that." "Well, I didn't know. I just give it to him." He kept it 5 hours and brought it back. And I don't know why. They never did do nothing. I've been back since then. But I'm telling you, I figured I was going to be with that group. You know, but the Lord protected me. But he goes on, and there's other. On over in talking about the Comforter, chapter 18, I guess it is, in verse 20, when he says, "Jesus answered him, I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort to this." That ain't the verse I wanted. But anyway, one of them verses talks, but we've got a Comforter. Just like he said, "I'll send you another Comforter." Now, Jesus was here, but when he went away, the Holy Ghost, as much God as God himself, he is God, he's always God, he'll never be nothing less. But old mountain preacher Zeb McDarris used to say, if I could just unzip, if you're saved, he's right here. Goes with you every day, every step, night or day, no matter where you're at. Good times, bad times, healed. He said, "I'll never leave you, never forsake you."
Right.
But he's promised. And Jesus, don't you believe the Holy Ghost is a person just like Jesus? He is. He's a part of the Godhead. And I thank God. But that invisible presence is as real. There's times, oh my. I heard my wife say one time, she said she just almost could feel the arms of the Lord around her. Boy, that's precious. I about got there this morning. Woo. It's been a many days since I felt the presence of the Lord like I did today, and I ain't worthy of that, but the sweet Holy Spirit, there ain't nothing like it. And if you ever have that, you'll never. I mean, he's our companion, our leader, our protector. He's our everything. And we can. And he promised right there in that verse 7, to give it to us. But not only that, through that, when you get to, he's promising verse 13, 14, to guide us and to teach us. That's what he says there in verse. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show it unto you. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you."
Amen.
Now, we live in a day, and I'm not out to tear anybody down that's saved, but, you know, this Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, That book says that ain't it. When your spirit filled is magnifying Jesus.
Amen.
It ain't hollering Holy Spirit. And we live in some warped up days along those realm of doctrine, but I'm just telling you what the book said. And I'm glad that I know the Holy Spirit is a great teacher. And he can help you, and I could use verses there in 1 John and 1 Corinthians and go on. But the Holy Spirit does his work in you just like Jesus did. He is when he's here with us. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And when he's here, he'll teach you. But he is our teacher, and he'll show us things to come, as he says. And I don't know where you ever have or not, but it wouldn't hurt just to stop and say, I just thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, we get to heaven. That may be half of heaven, just saying how he took care of us here. I know the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivered them. But the Holy Spirit, he's real. He's God. Now, I can't imagine. I don't know how to explain it. There's as much a part of God in me as there is in heaven.
Amen.
And I ain't off. That's just believing the book.
Amen.
And he's the one. But he promised that. And then in verse 22, this is an encouragement. He promised to come again. He says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. I mean, he told them, don't be offended. I know you've got sorrowful hearts, but I didn't tell you these things to offend you. I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you another comforter. And he can lead you and guide you. And he said, "There and now therefore ye have sorrow, but I will see you again." Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So we've got a promise of he's coming back. I don't know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if we're not living. I mean, just in our feeble way of thinking, right at the door.
Amen.
May never get out that door.
Amen.
Whew. Come up hither.
Amen.
What a blessing that'd be. If you're ready to go, that's a blessed hope, is a glorious appearing of our Lord. And I'm just saying the promise. I know that's literally fulfilled when he rose to the disciples, so to speak, but it says then their hearts were glad. But you talk about a glad heart. You may have never shouted, but you will.
Amen.
It's a coming. You might as well plan on it.
Amen.
Then you won't be ashamed. You won't be, no, I won't worry what people think. You just got your eyes on him.
Amen.
And immediately we're up around the throne. Chapter 4, verse 2, I guess. And we're caught out of here.
Amen.
Oh, and you're talking about shouting. I know you don't judge the spirit by the noise, but I like it.
Amen.
When somebody can't help it. And I ain't talking about no put-on stuff. But I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost breathes and you can't help it. It's just, and I believe God likes it.
Amen.
You read Romans 15. All them Gentiles with one voice and one mind has just a praise in the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, over and over it says that, ye Gentiles. I guess most of us here are Gentiles, ain't we? Well, maybe I'll just turn and read that. I don't know what kind of a mind. I didn't have nothing down about this. But there in Romans, I think it's Romans 15. I'm going to just take my time here. But in Romans 15, you listen to this. He says in verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Down in verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, sing unto his name.
Amen.
Verse 10, again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Loud him, all ye people. What does the word loud mean? Does anybody know? That just means celebrate expressively. Get carried away. He's worthy.
Amen.
You get to heaven, it's going to be holy, holy, holy. Thou art worthy.
Amen.
I mean, everything up there is going to be a praising him there for a while. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's going to last a while. We're going to be there.
Amen.
We'll have front row seat. We're up around the throne. All them angels and everything's back there wondering what's going on, I guess. Because they get down, that's all they've ever done, praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, there ain't nothing wrong with praising the Lord. We probably don't do near enough of it. But he's coming again. But while he leaves us here, look at verse 23 and 24. He promises to answer our prayer. He says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He promised. Can you believe the Lord? It's a blessing to call you preacher or somebody and say, pray. And I do that. I believe in other people's prayers. But when you realize God will answer your prayers.
Amen.
If there wasn't nobody else around. When you plead the blood and the power of the Holy Ghost, that's high as you can go. But he'll be there. He'll listen. You in full assurance. He said, that's what he said. And what a sure promise. And we don't have to be afraid. What does Hebrews say? Come boldly before the throne of grace. Boy, you can just come like you are. He knows you anyhow. You don't have to put on.
Amen.
Just plead the blood and the power and say, Lord, it's me.
Amen.
Ask what you will. Isn't that what the Bible said?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, that's what we'll get. And when you plead the blood, that's what gets your prayers answered. When you plead the Holy Ghost. Devil try his best to tell you God ain't going to hear your prayers. He ain't nothing but a liar. Don't listen to him. He does hear your prayers.
Amen.
Your prayers and my prayers. And I appreciate, I believe it's one of the Psalms said, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. I mean, he'll give you many times even the desires of your heart if you walk uprightly. And what a blessing to have a book. And we believe this book. I know that. I know where I'm at. But the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And ask and you shall receive. And ask and you believing. That's the secret. Ask believing. But he promises to answer our prayers. And when you're praying, look here. This is assurance of what I was saying. Verse 26 and 7. He said, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I come out from God. I come from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and I go to the Father. And he's promised there in verse 26 even says, and in that day ye ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So what I'm saying, he's promised to intercede for us. When you pray, it ain't you, no how. I mean, it is, but we go, you pray in Jesus' name. You pray through the blood. And oh, what a blessing. I will pray the Father for you. Another place it says, we pray in Christ's stead. I mean, when you're praying for a sinner, if he's here, it's what he'd be doing. But he's using you, and you pray in his stead. His love, you can't love like you ought to love. You can't be what you ought to be, but through him, he flows through us. He lives in us.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart. And I ain't preaching perfection, but we'd be a lot closer than we think.
Amen.
He's with us. And when you ask, but he said, I will pray the Father for you. And boy, that encourages me to know that Jesus is pleading for me and to the Father. And the Father loves me, he said he did, because I love him. And the Holy Spirit's with me. Boy, you can't beat that. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit in your heart, Jesus up there pleading for you. I don't believe we realize what we got.
Amen.
We're hooked into something pretty big.
Amen.
We're hooked into something pretty powerful. If we could just grasp that and just live it and let it live in us. And I believe the only thing can hinder that is sin. If we'll just live right, and I ain't preaching perfection. But there ain't nothing in heaven, nothing on earth or under the earth or hell or nothing can stop God's perfect will from being done in a believer's life. If we'll just, that's the reason the Bible says, reckon yourself dead to the world, but alive under Christ. Boy, when you get to the point, and I've made this statement before, and I believe it's about true. Don't you think we just about have to live a lifetime before you really learn how to serve the Lord?
Amen.
I mean, really. You realize we can't do nothing, but this takes about a lifetime. And about the time he gets you molded to where you can really trust him.
Amen.
We're fixing to get out of here. That's what he's a-doing. He's a-molding you and a-making you. What does Romans 8:29 say? Because 28, we use that verse a lot. all things work together for good to them that call, you know, all things. But it says in verse 29 that we're being conformed to the image of his son.
Amen.
So he's working on us.
Amen.
Every day he's still shaping and molding and causing. And about the time he gets us fixed, we're about ready to go to heaven.
Amen.
When you learn just a little how to serve him, you may be fixing to get out of here. But that's his job here on earth, the Holy Spirit, shaping us up and getting us ready to get out of here. And oh, what a blessing. But Jesus is pleading our cause. And while we're in all this world and the turmoil and problems, but look at verse 33. I like this. He's promised to give us peace. So I'm saying, he's telling these disciples, don't you worry. I didn't tell you these things to cause you to be upset.
Yeah.
That's what he said, wasn't it? These things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. I didn't tell you this at all this hard time and troubles, but don't you think we're about there again? We are.
Amen.
Whether you think it or not. But he promised to give us peace. Look at verse 33. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Be of good cheer, church. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know one thing. He made peace. Ephesians said he preached peace. He is our peace. I had a Catholic lady when I pastored in Alabama, one of the dearest ladies I ever met, but it's a long story. But her husband was a retired military man, and of course he wasn't a drunk, but he drank every day beer. And when he'd come in from work, after he retired, he painted houses and things, just I guess keep him getting bored. I don't know. He didn't necessarily need it, I don't guess. But anyway, he'd come in and he got saved. And she'd have his beer fixed and say, you're not going to drink your beer? He said, no, I don't want it. He didn't tell her he got saved. And that went on, and every Sunday morning he'd come, and he's coming to church, and he used to go to yard sales all the time, and she thought he just, but she got to notice, and he'd dressed up. And said one day he started down the hall, heard feet coming, and she's from Panama, but she's part Spanish and Filipino and Spanish mix, I think, or something. I don't know. But anyway, she didn't speak. She spoke, understood all English. She said, I don't know where you go, but I'm going with you.
Yeah.
He's a changed man.
Amen.
He didn't say I got saved. She come to church, got saved, and she's my mission secretary till I left the church, and worked with the DA for many, many years, just retired recent. She's on up in years now, but still. But she told me this. She said, I'd done everything possible that the Catholics told me to do, but I did not have peace.
Amen.
When I got saved, I had peace. Well, if you don't have peace, you ain't saved.
Amen.
He is our peace if you don't have him. If you've got him, we may face things that we can't imagine, friends.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to scare nobody, but we might ought to think it may happen. The day may come when they plant people in your church.
Yeah.
And the reason I got to thinking about this, boy, I've been burdened about our state.
Yeah.
And how in the world one man can turn over 60-something percent of the vote about the marriage amendment. Boy, that's scary, ain't it?
Yeah.
And it ain't over yet. We're still fighting it.
Amen.
But what I'm saying, how can 61-2%, whatever it was, voted for that marriage amendment, and it in the Constitution, and one man said something, turn it over. That ain't right. I don't know. I'm just an old mountain boy, but they may be bloodshed. Some of these old mountain people ain't going to put up that stuff. These homosexuals used to, you wouldn't even say that word.
Yeah.
I was a grown man before I ever knew what it was. Wish I hadn't never known.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. Don't want to know. But I'm telling you, they're bold.
Amen.
And they're coming in. And all they got to say is, boy, you won't marry them, Brother Gwynn. What are you going to do? You better stand.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, if they cut my head off, I believe I want to stand.
Amen.
But I'm just saying, you can have peace.
Amen.
That's what he said. He made peace. And in that verse says there, these things have I spoken that you might have peace. And I'm glad that we that are saved can enjoy peace when everything else is falling apart. And the world don't understand. But we are going to be victorious.
Amen.
You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Many of them died. Two Babylons, Trail of Blood. You ought to read them.
Amen.
Are we any better than they? If it comes, will we stand like they did? Tied to a stake?
Yeah.
Recant? No. We're going to burn you. Go ahead. That's happened in America even.
Yeah.
You ought to read. Faye's been reading here in the last while. Baptist history.
Yeah.
Things that happened in early Baptist. Persecution. But folk, I don't believe we're any better than some of them.
Amen.
We may, and I never, who would have even thought that we'd ever think this way? But it may come. I know the Bible does say, all that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
And it may come. You know, we think somebody just says a little something about us. We've had persecution. I've been there and you know it. But God seen me through. But persecution, mockery, even death, that don't mean defeat. We're more than conquerors. And you know Revelation, what is chapter 7, I believe, where it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
One day, we're gonna go out of here in white robes. It's real. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And Jesus has already overcome the world. And I do believe whatever comes, with all my heart, I believe we can face it with peace.
Amen.
And courage. Be not afraid. Don't the Bible say that?
Amen.
Be of good courage. Now I know I'm preaching. It may be easier to preach than it is to live, but I believe I'm preaching truth.
Amen.
And it may bring us to the point. And this has helped me. It helped me in the last few days to read these two chapters. Because I don't know what we'll face. It's getting scary to the flesh.
Yeah.
But I believe with all my heart, he said, I have overcome the world. In that, there in that text, in
Amen.
Verse 33. And I just appreciate so much. Boy, I love to read John 17 where I know he's praying for us. And I reckon we ought to just be like old David. I was reading there a while ago, even after I got in church, over there in Psalm 27. I heard a young preacher preach on this, and it's stuck in my heart about ever since. But he goes, David just purposed in his heart, and he had been through some hard times. Ooh, we don't know nothing what David went through. I mean, Saul hunting him solid like a dog after. But look what he says, Psalm 27, and I'm through, but I'll give you this. Said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be content, confident. But verse 4, one thing, if we'd ever just get to this point, and I ain't saying, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. So I'm saying if we could just ever get there. And I was reading today over there in Psalm 145. And I wanted to jump up and say, I will. That's like in Isaiah 53. Who will declare his generation? Every time I read that, I want to say, I will. But in here in Psalm 145, David, the same time, he had purposed this one thing. He's going to praise the Lord no matter. He said, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee and will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. You will never get to the bottom of it. He says, one generation shall praise thee to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Isn't that the way it ought to be?
Amen.
We just pass it down. Our children, our grandchildren, one generation to another. And goes on and on. Talks about his great goodness and his glory and his praise. But I'm just saying, if we could ever get there, just purpose this one thing, I'm going to seek after. And I'm going to trust him. If the enemy, whatever happens, I'm just going to trust the Lord with all my heart. And I tell you right now, David had purposed that. And if we'll get there, I believe if the time, I hope it don't come. I hope everything that I've even thought about happening, I pray that God will just let us never see that persecution and problems. But if it does come, what are you going to do? We've had so much, we don't hardly know, you know. But what if all the banks and everything else did shut down? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? If they do come in, what are you going to do if they walk in your church with guns or even plant people? You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, it's possible. In our day, you read it every day, don't you? What's happening? But I'm just saying, if we'll just purpose that one thing, I'm going to walk toward it. And one day, we're going to be in the house, worship him and see the beauty of the Lord forever and ever. And I believe it'll help us now. Hold on to them promises. He'll be your peace. He'll answer your prayers.
Amen.
And I could go on and on, but you, that's what the Lord will me to do tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Green. We appreciate you. Love you. Get you a prayer card if you don't have one. Amen, preacher. Bless you.